Welcome back to JBC Totally Random. And I'm your host, Jerry. Yesterday, I missed out on being able to post a podcast due to the fact that I was calling a game on the radio for a local high school team, Allegheny and Mountain Ridge, both of Maryland, Allegheny County. And both teams came into that game 2-0. High expectations this year for both teams. Mountain Ridge, last year, because of COVID, Allegheny County had an abbreviated season in which basically Mountain Ridge, Allegheny, and Fort Hill, the three schools, played each other twice each. And Mountain Ridge looked really solid in the spring. So it's only been a couple of months. Allegheny had struggled trying to get their footing, but the beginning of the fall season, Allegheny was 2-0 and had played some very stiff competition, and they had been some close games. And then Mountain Ridge had played two games, and they had absolutely blown out the competition. So we were kind of trying to figure out where these teams stood. And we were thinking maybe Mountain Ridge had played inferior opponents, and Allegheny maybe had played a little bit more solid of a schedule. We also assumed that, based off of that, that Allegheny would have a slight edge, having played four quarters of football each game with their starters, and Mountain Ridge had played games where the starters didn't necessarily need to play that much. In the end, what we found out was that Mountain Ridge looks to be the real deal. They annihilated Allegheny High School, 30-something, I believe it was, to zilch. Allegheny, the low-scoring games, we've now determined that it's because their offense is dead. Defensively, they do okay. They really do. But offensively, it's anemic. They run the ball up the middle 90% of the time, and it doesn't matter defensively what you do. They're going to do the same thing. Mountain Ridge loaded up the box and had nine people in the box every down, and Allegheny still, for some reason, chose to run right up the middle. It was so crazy that Mountain Ridge, their free safety was 7 yards off of the line of scrimmage. 7 yards. Why do you not, if you're Allegheny, run some quick slants? I mean, clearly, I will give Mountain Ridge this. They were getting pressure on the quarterback. But if you're Allegheny, even if your quarterback's getting pressure, you still have to pass. And so instead of running routes with your receivers that requires them to run 15 and 20 yards down the field, there are the quick slants. There's the quick outs. There's the digs. There's the curls. They needed to do something, and they wouldn't. As a matter of fact, I think they ran slant patterns twice. The first time that they did run the slant pattern with their receivers, I think they picked up something like 12 yards. The second time, it was a bad selection by the quarterback on where to go with the ball, and it just didn't turn out very good. So that was where I was at yesterday. I apologize for not being able to kick out a podcast. If you've not noticed by now, my voice is a little bit off, and the reason for that is my sons, for the first time ever, all three of them, accompanied me to the West Virginia football game. And it wasn't just a football game, it was West Virginia versus Virginia Tech. And for me, there was there's only one other greater game, and that's when West Virginia plays Pitt. Virginia Tech is a great rivalry game that we miss immensely since we've gone to the Big 12 and they went to the ACC. It has been too long for these two teams not to have played each other. But like I said, for the first time, I was able to take all three of my sons with me to a game. This was my Father's Day gift, and it did not disappoint. going into this game, clearly, if you watch both teams in the first two games, I think it was logical to say that it was going to be Virginia Tech with a slight edge just because they seemed to play a cleaner style of football and were executing better than what West Virginia had shown up to this point. But boy howdy, I'm telling you, 60,000 plus strong showing up to the game. It was gold rush, so everybody was decked out in their gold jerseys, gold shirts, and it was absolutely beautiful. The place was rocking. I had challenged and implored the West Virginia fan base that she was going to show up to be loud and be proud, and I don't think that we disappointed. I think that we did a great job as a fan base of being loud. I also know from talking to several of the Virginia Tech fans that had came to Morgantown to visit for the game that we did a good job this year of really hosting our competitions fans with respect and honor. They were very impressed with the hospitality of the West Virginia faithful. That is something that years ago would never have been said. So I'm very excited. I'm very proud as a West Virginia fan to hear that from the Virginia Tech fan base. Got a chance, like I said, to talk to several. Talked about how great the game was, how both teams were giving the fan bases heart attacks and causing us to want to stroke out at different points during the game. And then congratulating each other on a strong performance and wishing the best for their team going forward. Because there's nobody wants to win against a team that finishes off with a losing record. What you need is to have victories over other teams, the oppositions that have strong records in the end. So from here on out, we're wishing Virginia Tech and Maryland nothing but the best, even though we didn't beat Maryland. Still want both those teams to have stellar records finishing off the year. Now, like I said, we're loud, we're proud, we're having fun. Game, like I said, starts out in a way in which I'm not typically accustomed. We started out fast in the first quarter, a lot faster than I think we have any other time. So we score on a nice run by Letty Brown. I believe it went for 80 yards. Super run. Splits it right up the middle and just takes off. It's a foot race, and luckily no one's able to catch him. He's got good speed. Then the second possession, Dahey drops a bomb into the end zone, and I believe, my memory serves me correctly, that it was Bryce Ford Wheaton that made just a tremendous catch, adjusted to the ball well, and brought it down in the end zone. So that's how we started. And then from there, let's be honest, if you're a West Virginia Mountaineer, I'm sure you watched the game. We kind of stumbled from here on out. We still had good possessions. We still scored more points. But outside of the explosive first quarter, we played average. The reason I say we played average is because we shot ourselves in the foot nearly the entire game. I do believe that had we not had the penalties that we had, that this is probably a blowout at halftime. And I don't even think the final score, I don't think would be close, because I think you really would have just absolutely pulled all the air out of the Virginia Tech balloons, and they would have just folded. Would they have put up a fight? Yes, Virginia Tech always does. And this is a game in which both teams typically fight very hard against each other. But I don't think they would have had the pep in their step that they had in the fourth quarter against us today if it weren't for all the penalties that we gave or committed that assisted them in moving down the field. And basically preventing us from converting multiple third downs. You know, many, many times it seemed like it was third and short, and you would get a false start, and that would move the ball back. Or we'd convert, but you'd see the yellow flag sitting down on the side. There's a holding call. So a lot of this, still, we have a ways to go as a complete team. That's going to come. Like I said, very unusual years for all teams out there. It's got to be hard on the coaches. It's got to be hard on the players. You know, if you get caught being associated with anybody that has had symptoms of COVID, you're relegated to not being at practice. So there's many days in which you can't participate, and that makes it hard to learn and hard to build that camaraderie to really be fluid as a team. I think that's more what we're seeing in college football than normal. You know, this is, like I said, last year, this year, it's been very up and down. Teams that should be dominating aren't. Teams that shouldn't be doing anything are competing at a very high level. And then you have some teams that are playing stellar ball one week, and then the next week you're looking at them like they're a Pop Warner team. So, you know, like I said, we had a lot of penalties, a lot of mistakes like that that really added up. But overall, we had a victory against Virginia Tech, long-standing rivalry. Super excited that it's back. And the fan base, you could tell everybody was so excited. That is by far the most amount of Mountaineer fans I have seen standing in the stadium at the end of the game. And to hear all those voices in unison singing Country Roads was the most beautiful thing I've heard in a long, long time. And I know it didn't just move me. I know it moved players on the field. I know it moved the coaching staff. And I guarantee you people, it influenced the recruits that were there today to watch this game. Not only did they get to see the great plays that we had where we just blew down the field for touchdowns, they got to see us buckle down even in the face of the adversity and find a way to beat a very good Virginia Tech team. So, all in all, great performance. So let's talk about that performance briefly here. For the game, we saw Jarrett Dahey start and Garrett Green get a little bit more action than what we've seen in the past. So he's getting to play a role, which is good, but let's talk about the numbers. I call him Dahey. Some people make fun of me. That's okay. I'm never going to claim to know how to pronounce everybody's names, nor do I really care. That's what I call them, and so that's what they are to me. Jarrett Dahey is 15 of 26 on the day passing. He finishes with 193 yards for a 7.4 average, two touchdowns, and one boneheaded interception, which we tend to see quite often through the games with him. You see this one pass that you're just like, why, man? Why did you throw that? But he is still doing a great job. And he is doing far better than I could ever do, so I cannot complain too much because, like I said, he's better than I am. I can be a great player and I can be a great coach from the stands and from my living room couch, but if you put me on the field, I would be abysmal, to say the least. So he did a great job a vast majority of the times of making great throws, good reads, and setting us up into a position in which we could win the game. Garrett Green comes in. He's 0-for-1 passing for 0 yards. So passing-wise, he was inefficient today. And there was one point, and I think it was early in the series, one of the earlier series that he got to play, that he kind of fumbled the ground. I think it was a bad snap. The ball hits the ground. He picks it up. It just, you could tell that he was kind of fresh behind the ears. It seemed like he panicked a little bit more. And I think that's why you see him as the backup and not the starter. I think that's the reason you don't see him in every down. And you don't see him more than what you do. He is good at what he has figured out, but he's not good at everything yet. And I don't think Neil Brown wants to put him in a position for failure. He knows that he has a passionate fan base that loves the game, loves their team, but are very fickle if things don't go perfect. And so it's too early to put that young man in a position to be dogged by the fan base for learning mistakes, where Dahey has years of experience and seems to handle the boo birds and the insults a lot better. He's figured out how to brush them off and to move on. So our quarterbacks in total are 15 of 27 for 193 yards, 7.1 yard average, 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. That was good enough quarterback play for the day to win the game. Rushing wise, like I said, the very first possession, Letty Brown breaks away for like 80 yards up the middle, getting his one and only touchdown of the day. He finishes with 19 carries, 161 yards on an 8.5 yard average per carry. That is a fantastic game. That's always been stated this year that the Mountaineers will make it to victory as long as Letty Brown has a great game. And he had a fantastic game today. Now, I said earlier Garrett Green was inefficient as a passer. That was true. But what he lacked in passing, he made up in his legs. So he had 4 carries for 28 yards and averaged out at 7 yards a carry. His long was only 10 yards, but that's a first down. So we'll take it. Mathis Jr. has 2 carries for 5 yards, 2.5, but it gave Letty Brown a nice little breather. Dahey finishes 5 carries for 2 yards. So there's your biggest difference. Green has the legs, Dahey has the arm. Now what we got to do is make one of the two of them have both. And it'd be awesome if we could wave a wand and do that. But we have two quarterbacks that have very different styles and very talented in one aspect of the game. And for now, Neil and them are going to have to figure out how to just continue to work that to get the best of both worlds. Isaiah Esdell gets a carry and finishes with -7. Now, it looked like he was supposed to pass that ball down the field. And wisely, he's seen the coverage by the Virginia Tech Hokies was good on the play, and he did not want to force the ball down and get an interception, so he simply took the negative yardage. So as a team, we have 33 carries. We finished the game with 180 yards, which is respectable, at a 5.5 yard per carry average, which that too is a respectable average. We'll take that. Anytime you're up around 5.5, matter of fact, anytime you're above 4, I think is a really good average for any team. You just don't want to be down in that 1 to 3 yards per carry, because then you know you're not able to convert the third downs and keeping the chains moving. Receiving wise, Sam James, what a great young man. He really struggled last year. He kind of had early struggles in the Maryland game in the first half. But like I said before, he has fought through that adversity, and he is starting to look more and more like the Sam James of his freshman year. He had 2 receptions, 46 yards, 23-yard average, and 1 touchdown. Isaiah Esdell, who y'all all know that I absolutely love. I love the guy's style. He finds a way to be productive. He has 4 receptions, 46 yards for 11.5 yard average. Letty Brown, not just doing it with his legs, but with his hands. 3 receptions, 35 yards, 11.7 yard average. Bryce Ford Wheaton has 1 reception, but it's a huge one. 29 yards for the touchdown to get things going on the second series there and to keep the momentum flowing in our favor early in the game. Mr. Ryan has 2 receptions for 23 yards for an 11.5 yard average. Winston Wright Jr. only has 1 reception, but it was for 6 yards. Mr. Smith has 1 reception for 5 yards, and O'Loughlin has 1 reception for 3 yards. So our receivers finished the game with 15 receptions, 193 yards for a 12.9 yard per catch average and 2 touchdowns. Now, fumbles, we didn't lose any. Did we have them? Yes. But did we lose it? No. Which I don't think that's right, because that's kind of how Virginia Tech got the ball so close, right? We're going for a pass. It gets knocked out of the hands, and Virginia Tech recovered. So that can't be right. Let's see here. We had 0 interceptions. Kick returns. Winston Wright Jr. still looking solid, doing a great job returning kicks. He has 2 returns for 42 yards, averaging out to 21 yards per return today, which is a very respectable number. Not quite to his season standards so far, but hey, what I would feel was a much better team. So that's still a great number against a very solid Virginia Tech. Punting, we had 2 punt returns by Isaiah Esdell, 8 yards total, so he averaged 4 yards a return. But let's face it, returning punts is not an easy thing to do. So anytime you get any kind of positive return from a punt returner, that is a very good thing. So the fact that it's not negative, the fact that he didn't drop the ball, those are all, you know, good things, and it shows that he had a good return day as a punt returner. Kicking, Mr. Leg. What a beautiful name for a kicker. Mr. Leg, 2 of 2, so he's 100%. His long today was 44 yards, and he was 3 of 3 on his extra points, and so he contributed 9 points to our total. And so you take those 9 points from Mr. Leg away, and we lose that game. So thank you for the practice and the hard work that you put in, Mr. Leg, to make sure that when you are called upon to help your team out, that you're ready and prepared. Great job today, and it's always a nice thing to see a perfect score for a kicker. Punting-wise, Tyler Sumter had 4 punts for 183 yards with a 45.8 yard average with a long of 68 yards. Now, of course, some of that 68 was off of a roll, but man, you talk about flipping the field. That was a kick that was just absolutely beautiful. I believe that we downed it inside the 5-yard line. So that was a big thing for West Virginia on that particular punt, because it really put Virginia Tech in a bad situation. So overall, I think that's a good average, 45.8. You're talking almost half the field. So as long as you're not kicking from the goal line or inside the goal, you're going to put the opposing team on the opposite side of the field. And that makes it a little bit easier for the defenses because their backs are not against the wall right off the bat. Now, with that being said, if we go back to the GameCast, well, matter of fact, let's not even do that. Let's go. I don't know where to go now. I've lost my spot. So we're not going to do that. But what I was going to say is West Virginia, we score 14 in the first, and then we scored 10 points in the second, But what we're seeing is another trend that has been forming for this year. We only scored 3 points in the second half. Now, once again, a lot of that is because we have been shooting ourselves in the foot and killing our drives. It's not necessarily that the opponent has done a great job of stopping us, but we have done a great job of stopping ourselves and putting us in down in distances that are very hard to manage. So if we can get the little things cleaned up early on, I think we're going to have a very solid chance at having an outstanding year. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, I'm going to throw in a little bit of information here. We're going to do kind of like the matchups real quick. Got about 4 minutes left. But I do want to kind of hit on what Virginia Tech's got too, because I tell you what, they were a terrific team and it was a great game. So first downs, Virginia Tech finishes with 20. West Virginia finishes with 18. Third down efficiency, Virginia Tech definitely had the upper hand, I felt, but statistically, I guess it wasn't that big of a difference. They were able to get a first down off of their third down 6 out of 16 times, where we were only able to do it 3 of 12. Fourth down conversions, that's the word I was looking for. Fourth down conversions, Virginia Tech 1 of 3, West Virginia 1 of 1. Total yards, not that far apart. Virginia Tech finishes with 329 total yards, and West Virginia finishes with 373. Virginia Tech really popping off yards in the passing game with 223 total yards. Their quarterback was 19 of 31 for 7.2. West Virginia finishes with 193 passing yards, 15 of 27, 7.1 yard average, and one interception, where Virginia Tech had 0 interceptions thrown. Rushing wise, Virginia Tech finishes with a respectable 106 yards, where we had 180. They had 42 rushing attempts. I think that's really impressive. So yeah, they broke the 100 yard mark, but they had 42 rushes. Their yards per rush was only 2.5. So like I said earlier, you really don't want to be below 3. We finished with 5.5 yards. Penalty wise, they had 6 for 44. So they had their fair share of bad plays and bad mistakes that really shot them as well. But we had 9 for 65. We had 2 turnovers in the game. We did, like I said earlier, we did have a fumble that was lost, and we did throw a pick, where Virginia Tech played a very clean game and had 0 interceptions and 0 fumbles. Excuse me, I belched. So time of possession, once again, these teams were very even. Time of possession, Virginia Tech finishes with 32 minutes of ball possession, and West Virginia finished with 28. So with that being said, what a great game. What a great day. Congratulations to the Mountaineer football team and staff, and for Mountaineer Nation, as Tony Caridi likes to say, it is a great day to be a Mountaineer no matter where you are. And how true was that today? For Virginia Tech, you played a solid game. I couldn't have been more impressed. The fans were great. Your team was great. Your coaches are good. And I hope to see you guys finish the rest of your season strong. And I'd like to see you win the ACC. So hit her hard, go at her, and score you some victories. So since it's late, and I don't have a lot of time, and I'm exhausted from the day that I had, I'm going to sign off wishing you all the best, and tune in tomorrow for another totally random episode by JBC.